first verse. Let's move with the rest of the verse 1 to see the second part in this affirmation that he is making. The affirmation, my first point, in resting solely on God and God alone. The affirmation, the first 3 verses. We've seen the author, now we want to see the strength of conviction. The strength of conviction. I'm not talking about the power of conviction, but the strength. Personal inner strength for the believer. What is the conviction in this affirmation in the first 3 verses? You find it in the first verse when he says, "The Lord is my light." The Lord is sure, confidence, is my light. He's also my salvation. Sure about it. But he also says the Lord is the stronghold of my life. 3 affirmations. Do you see that? Verse 1, my light, my salvation, my stronghold. So when I title these first 3 verses as the affirmation, there is an important reason. Verse 1, the 3 affirmations must be the believer's affirmations. Convictions, affirmations. This is what I really know, not academically only. It has to start academically, but it has seeped down into my life. I really know this intimately. Before I get overwhelmed with my problems. So I must begin my relationship with God with absolute confidence in God. Because life is unpredictable. You never know when there will be a challenge to your life. Not just your faith, but your very life. When it seems like the ground has opened beneath you and you are falling into a pit. Before that happens, prepare your inner man with these affirmations. What are those 3 affirmations? He is my light. He is my salvation. He is my stronghold. Otherwise, what happens? You and I will be so caught up in the problem, the challenge. And get drowned and defeated by them. It only makes Satan happy. And be defeated. Not only will I be defeated, I will also become distracted. Affirm the truth about the place of Yahweh, Jehovah, that He has in your life first and foremost, as well as permanently and consistently. Are you sure? What is light? Is my light? Light exposes darkness. Light is transparent. Light is absolutely powerful. There can be no darkness. In Him is light and there is no darkness. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And you can keep ruminating, reflecting, thinking, what is light? In biblical terms, salvation is not only justification, but sanctification, glorification, and every promise and the inheritance we have in Christ. There's so much in salvation. But it's not those things. Yahweh is my light. Yahweh is my salvation. It is Yahweh who is my stronghold. What is stronghold? It's like a fort, a fortress. All the forts that you can go to anywhere in the world are very thick walls. In my history lessons in high school, my history teacher said Akbar the Great was so strong, he would take one man each under his arm, get it? Two men, and he could run on the walls of his forts. That's how wide it was. Elephants could walk on those walls, right? Yahweh is my stronghold, fortress for protection. Consequence. Understand the meaning of those three affirmations and what is the consequence. Look at verse 1. He's really saying something very, very powerful, but very personal. Whom shall I dread? Whom shall I fear? He's actually not saying, I'm not afraid. He's saying, is there anybody that I can be afraid of? Is there anything that will frighten me? And it's a rhetorical question. He's really saying there is nothing. Are you getting the sequence? The affirmation first. And then what happens to all your trials and problems and challenges? They're meaningless. You can't be afraid. So even before the trials come, and even before I know there is any problem, I can say, because these are true convictions, affirmations, I don't have any fear. There is no potential, there is no possibility, there is absolute probability that I will not be defeated by fear. Please look at the text and see that that is what David is saying. Performing these very personal truths. Mine. Truth must be academically apprehended or understood to make them your very own. If you don't understand the meaning of these three affirmations, you can't fully live by them. So the mind is important. So a study of these words is important. Mental understanding is important. But we have to go beyond that academic understanding to make these our convictions. As these three convictions, affirmations become reality in your life, in mind, they become our very breath, our very life. Therefore, the phrase at the end of verse 1, before the question, whom shall I dread? It is of my life. It's my life. See my life? They are this, my salvation, my light, strong defense of my life. Of my life. He's not talking about somebody else. He's just so personal. Verse 2 and 3, therefore, under the affirmation, we're still in the first section, the shallowness of troubles. I was hesitant to use the word shallow for trouble because those are real troubles. But in the light of those affirmations, being so strongly rooted in the inner being of David, he says, pooh to the troubles. Those troubles are pooh, nothing. Look at the troubles, verse 2 and 3. When evildoers assail me, eat up my flesh, it is they who stumble and fall. When an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Look at the areas and attacks that are coming at David. evildoers, evildoers. Please see the word do in the word evildoers. They are not just threatening, they are doing it. And what comes into your imagination as you think of the word evil? Any kind of evil thing is evil. Really, really worse than bad things. They do to David. Then he says adversaries are enemies. Enemies. They're not friends. They're hostile. They're not just criticizing, they're against me. And if I fail and fall, they will laugh. They will enjoy. They are just looking for me to be finished. Foes, similar. Foes to me. And everything I am and do or stand for. Then he uses the word army. Do you see that? Though an army, verse 3, though an army surrounds you. I mean, have you looked at an army? I hope you see that they are one soldier is trained, right? 100 soldiers fighting together. In an army, it's not just 1, 20, 100. There's a whole lot of battalions, several battalions. And then he uses the word, they're against me, they encamp, they surround me. And then he says, though war, the devastation of war. How many wars, how many armies, how many battles had David fought? How many enemies do we have? What kind of enemies? What kind of foes? These are formidable when seen by themselves, right? I mean, look at each one and you think, this is frightening. So it's up to David and us believers. What David allowed or we allow to absorb the attention. What takes my attention? These formidable, fearsome, terrifying things that are there in life to frighten me. It is up to the believer to choose where you are looking at your problems that can eat away at your and my spiritual equilibrium, balance, or the Lord and Yahweh is David's choice. Amen. He says, the Lord. Look at his words. David doesn't minimize his troubles. Evildoers assail me. He says, eat up my flesh. Verse 2. They assail me. They, you know, hammer at me. They're coming at me all the time. And they eat up my flesh. Is that not serious? Doesn't minimize it. David, and for us, life is not a bed of roses, but life is, because we are this side of heaven, full of pain and fear, full experiences. But David made up his mind. He had affirmations that are strengthening affirmations. Back to verse 1. is my
light.
The Lord is my
salvation.
The Lord is my
strong.
I'm protected, I'm saved, I'm secure, I'm completely His, and He is mine. I have such intimacy with God. And therefore, verse 3 or verse 2. What happens to the adversaries and the foes? They will stumble and fall. I mean, they will stumble and fall, not I. Are you getting it? And look again, my heart shall not fear. He's not saying this is what should not happen. He's saying in my innermost being, heart, in Hebrew, thinking, is your innermost being. Inside of me, deep, deep, buried, rooted, grounded, I shall not fear. I have no fear. And he uses another phrase, I will be confident. This is either arrogance or it is intimacy in a powerful, loving God. And for us believers, He chose you and me before the foundation of the world for His purpose. Moving quickly to the second section, verses 4, 5, and 6. The absorption. What is He absorbed with? What is He soaked in? Soaking is thinking, reflection, what has become his life and breath, the absorption. Verses 4, 5, and 6. Let's break it up into three parts. Verse 4, David's genuine pursuit. What is he chasing after? One thing. Do you see that word? One thing. No distractions. One thing. And he says, I have asked of the Lord. This is my prayer. And a prayer that comes from my deepest desire. This is what absorbs me in my prayer life. And it absorbs me so much that I don't only pray for it, I seek after it. Do you see the terminology, the vocabulary? One thing, no distraction. God, I want this more than anything else, that I may dwell in your house. Most of us think Psalm 23 verse 6 is after death, right? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When? David is saying, now. I want to live on earth as if I'm living in your house. And what happens in the house of God? Remember, David had a great desire to build the temple for worship. I want to be a worshiper. More than anything else, Lord, one thing. I'm king over Israel. I have many, many things to do. But one thing I ask, one thing I see, I want to be a worshiper, dwell in your house all the days of my life. And he had said, right, it is better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord . Why do I want to do that, Lord? So that I can do what? I just want to look at you. I don't want to talk. I want to look. See, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. I just want to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire in his temple. What is it? Why? It's, I'm inquisitive. I have so many questions about life and death and about you, God. I want to know you more. I just want to know you more. One thing. What have I called it? David's genuine pursuit. Verse 4. Second, verse 5. David's strengthening assurance. David's strengthening assurance, verse 5. For he will hide me. Wow. He will hide me in the day of trouble. So there is trouble coming. I don't have to fear. Why? Because I have this pursuit. I'm absorbed in wanting to be with God, know Him more and more, gaze upon His beauty and loveliness. And I don't look at the trouble, I'm looking at the Word. I'm in His house all the days of my life, and what's happening? When trouble comes, He will cover me. And trouble will have to deal with God first, not with me. He is my shield, He is my high tower, He is my rock. He's my strength. He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. Corrie ten Boom and her sister were in the same terror chambers of Hitler, Nazi Germany. Three times I went into the gas rooms of Hitler. And she wrote about it. And she came out victorious. Remember that? You have to read up that story. I don't think I would have survived. No food, no clothes, cold showers. Anytime I would be called with the whole thousands of prisoners to stand naked in the snow, to be punished and harassed, no place to do toilet, sleep on that where I do everything. I've been through all those rooms, and then maybe, I don't know when, they would take me to the gas chamber and I would be burned alive. What fear should have overtaken her? But she came through victorious. David says, He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. Second thing He says, He will conceal me. See the strengthening assurance. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. His tent is Himself. Cover me, conceal me. And then He will lift me upon a rock, solid rock. He took me from a miry clay elsewhere in one of His Psalms, right? And set my feet upon. What assurance that gives so much, not encouragement, but strength to live for Jesus. What is His absorption? Not only His one thing, pursuit, genuine pursuit, not only His strengthening assurance, but thirdly, David's rewarding experience. He really gets the reward. Verse 6. Not in heaven only. Sure, there is a word in heaven. But do you notice in verse 6 he says, and now? Now, my head is lifted up. Above my enemies, all around me. They are subdued. David is lifted up. Because he's covered, he's conceived, and he's lifted up by God. And what does he say? Verse 6. Rewarding experience. I will offer. I will offer. Second phrase, I will sing. And in some translations it says, I will sing praises. But in ESV it says, I will sing. And thirdly, I will make melody to the Lord. I will make melody. I will make music. He has lifted me higher than my problems. See, the problems are not my issue. The Lord is my absorption. He'll take care of the problems. I don't have to solve any problem. I don't have to trust Him. It's not that kind of vocabulary that I have to trust Him. In my church, I'm teaching some of my church members not to say, cling to Jesus, cling to Jesus. I said, you already should have these as affirmations, right? I don't have to, I'm already absolutely confident in His ability, His love, His care. And so I will offer in His stead sacrifices with shouts of joy. Sing, and I will make melody to the Lord. Third section, verses 7 to 10. The obsession, the madness, the holy madness, you can call it. The obsession. In my teenage years, there was a big novel, The Magnificent Obsession. Lloyd Douglas. It was a Christian novel. The Magnificent Obsession. Look at David's deep obsession as we dive deep into this section, verses 7 to 10. First, deep obsession in verses 7 and 8. What is it? What is it? Deep obsession. Here, He's telling God, hear, listen, when I cry aloud, I'm shouting it out. Be gracious to me, answer me. And don't take this verse by itself, it is with verse 8. What am I shouting about? What I want? What do I want your grace for? What do I want in answer to my prayer? See, this is an obsession. I want it. I want to possess this. It's a magnificent spiritual madness. Hunger for God. Let's say, you have said, I'm only crying out aloud in response to what you have said. This is your will, Lord. What is your will? You have said, seek my face. I know what you want from me. And so I'm crying out graciously, Lord, hear me, answer me. Because you have said, seek my face. And what do I want? My heart says to you, my heart, from the depths of my being, Lord, your face, Lord, I seek. I seek. Seek and you will find me. Seek. Lord, I seek. I want you. I've no other passion. Everything I do, everything I am, all my ministry, everything else is hollow. It's nothing compared to knowing you. And therefore, Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, I want to know him. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his sufferings. To be made conformable to him. Moses said, show me your face. Exodus chapter 33. Show me your face. Let your presence go with me. If your presence doesn't go with me, then I don't want to go. Lord, I want intimacy with you. Because that's what you're saying. Seek my face. My heart longs to know you. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, I long for you, God. Show me your face. Deep obsession. Deep desire. In verse 9, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not. See, that's my desire, Lord. I never want you to be angry with me, Lord. You know what that means? David is saying, don't let me fall, don't let me fail you, don't let me make you angry, Lord. I want to please you all the time. For you have been my help. Cast me not, forsake me not. Because in God you are the God of my salvation. Elsewhere he said, who have I then? There is nobody. You are my all in all. Verse 10. Not only deep obsession, deep desire, but now deep dependence. Deep dependence. This is the most crushing statement David makes. My father and my mother have forsaken me. I'm an orphan. Deep dependence. But the Lord has adopted me. From before the foundation of the world, amen. We are adopted. Adopted sons. So we can call out to God, Abba. And your sons, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If we also suffer with him. And finally, verses 11 to 14, the protection. Have you been following God? Resting solely on God and God alone. The affirmation, verses 1 to 3. The absorption, verses 4 to 6. The obsession, verse 7 to 10. And now the protection. The protection, verses 11 to 14. Verse 11, say, a David's serious petition. He has made a petition even before in the psalm. But look at now his serious petition as he wraps this psalm up. He is saying, teach me, instruct me. The observation I make here is not your words. Teach me your way. Teach me how to behave like you, your way, your lifestyle, your behavior. and lead me in that level path. See, it's a pathway, the road, because of my enemies. Not only words, Lord, teach me your way. There is a hymn, is there not? Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Do you know that hymn? Teach me. Who better than the Master to teach me? Are you being taught by God? And when He, the Holy Spirit, will come, Jesus promised He will teach you. He will guide you into all the truth. Are you taught by the Spirit? Every time you open the book, are you dependent? Is this your serious petition? Teach me now. Verse 12, under the protection, David's request for protection. Request for protection. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for what false witnesses have risen against me. They breathe out madness. Lord, let me not succumb to what they want. That is the only statement he prays about his enemies. The rest of the psalm is all full of confidence, right? But it's not overconfidence when we come to verse 12. As he says, Lord, don't let me succumb to their will, their plan, their desire. Verse 13, under protection, David's confident assurance. I believe. As a child, I was introduced to another song which says, I believe, I believe, I believe. And one day, when I grew up and had some connection with John MacArthur, I heard him in one of the sermons criticize that song. It was a Christian song by some popular singer. And it had words like, I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. John MacArthur criticized that song. He says, really? For every drop of rain, a flower grows? It's sentimental nonsense. So I matured by then to realize absolutely, because by then I had also rejected that Christian song. You know, there's a lot of sentimental stuff we believe. So just saying, I believe, I have these convictions, we should examine them. Are they not just righteous convictions, are they biblical truth? And what is this confident assurance David in verse 13, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What's he talking about? Resurrection. Job believed in resurrection. So did all the Old Testament saints. We have post-resurrection convictions about this hope. So David's confident assurance is the hope of eternal life forever in heaven in the land of the living. And finally, he gives you four exhortations. David's fourfold exhortation in verse 14. He said everything he had to say, and he's just reflecting his life. He's not giving any exhortation up to verse 13, is he? This is personal. This is me. This is what has happened to me. And may you be strong in the Lord. You want to be strong in the Lord? Four exhortations. As I wrap up. Wait. Verse 14. Wait. Be strong. Take courage. And wait. Simple. Wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Even the young people get tired. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I think it's Isaiah 26 which says, in waiting and returning shall be your strength and salvation. Wait. Verse 14. Wait at the beginning of the verse, and verse 14, wait at the end of the verse. How important is waiting? Wait. When will my turn come? When will the solution come? When will the train come? When will the flight? How many hours are you waiting? When will God give me the girl that I will marry? When will I have a child? When will I? Never. Wait. David had learned to wait. You know when he says, seeking my face is what you said. Your face I will seek. Seeking takes waiting time. You can't seek in a hurry. Can't know God in a hurry. You can't have a quiet time in a hurry. So we should change the word quiet time to hurry time. Or no time. Have you had no time with the Lord? Yeah. Many times I've had no time. Wait, wait, wait. Don't rush it. Be strong. Be strong. In what? Not in yourself, but in the Lord. It's all about the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And in the strength of his might, Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of it. And having done all, you will still keep standing. Because you're strong in the Lord. And then watch your heart. Proverbs 4:23, right? Watch your heart. And that's where you need to take what? Courage. Be brave in your inner. The secret place. I was telling the formation class, there are the many things that made contributions to my spiritual formation and still make it, were the hymns in my Anglican church, which I miss in most of the evangelical Bible churches. If you know Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Do you know that hymn? Do you know the hymn, my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, for thee all the follies of sin I desire. Do you know Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence. There are so many other songs of intimacy with God and with Christ. And I ask that this hymn which I grew up with even before I was born again, most of the news I learned by heart before I was born again. You have it on your WhatsApp, right? So turn to it. There are 8 verses. My God, how wonderful thou art. Thy majesty, how bright. How beautiful thy mercy seat in depths of burning light. Just sit back down. How the hymn writer had an idea of how personally he could see and imagine the beauty and wonder of the Lord God Almighty. And that he dreads in verse 2, thine eternal years, O everlasting word, by prostrate spirits, cherubim, seraphim, angels, myriads upon myriads of angels. Prostrate spirits day and night, incessantly. Incessantly means without stopping, 24/7, but there is a day and night in heaven. How beautiful, how beautiful. The sight of thee must be. I want to imagine, I want to know, I want to see how beautiful you are. Thy endless wisdom. How much wisdom does God have? Boundless power, unlimited power, and awful reverential. Oh, how I fear thee, living God, with deepest, tenderest fears, and worship thee with trembling hope and penitential tears. One says, if we confess our sins, one God, one hand. You know, it's a continuous sense. A true believer, the mark of a true believer is continuously penitential. I'm constantly aware of my sinfulness. I've never, ever able to even imagine that I am without sin. So, continuous confession with penitential tears. Yet, even though I fear you, Lord, and I'm such an unworthy sinner, saved by grace, yet I may love thee too, O Lord, almighty as thou art. For thou hast stooped to ask of me, God wants me to love. Thou hast stooped to ask of me the love of my poor heart. No earthly father loves like thee. No mother e'er so mild bears and forbears as thou hast done with me, your sinful child. Oh, then this verse, that worthless heart in pity deign to take and make it love thee for thyself. For thy glory's sake, only to sit and think of God. Oh, what a joy it is, only to sit and think of God. Not what I can do for you, to think of Him. Oh, what a joy it is to think the thought, to breathe the name. Earth has no higher bliss. Father of Jesus, love's reward, what rapture will it be? Prostrate before thy throne to lie and gaze and gaze. God's reward, what rapture would it be? Prostrate before that holy light. Gaze. Only Father, thank you for this amazing insight you gave. And this indomitable character formation to be the man after your own heart. It's not that he was having a perfect heart, but he wanted your heart. He sought your heart, and he had found your heart. Make me like that, Lord.